Welcome to the Five Kennies Podcast.
Welcome to Five Kennies.
Since 2008, Canadian Baptist Ministries has been working in partnership with the Eastlake Community Center in Urban Refugee Ministry. We have had the great joy of working specifically with the Women's Empowerment Program called IFTEEN. IFTEEN is a Somali word for light that was chosen by the women because they want to be a light to their community. The motto of the IFTEEN program is Women Helping Women for a Brighter Future. Together, they are doing this in many ways. Today, we are happy to share with you a brief conversation between Erin and our program officer at Eastlake, Laura Mwema, as they discuss how the self-help group approach is an important aspect of the success of IFTEEN. Since the beginning of the program, 8 women's groups have been formed throughout Eastlake. They are having a great impact upon these women and their families.
Hello, we're in Nairobi today with Laura Mwema. Laura is the program officer of the Women's Empowerment Program in Eastleigh. And today we're going to be talking to her a little bit about how the self-help group approach is an integral part of what's happening in IFTEEN, the women's program with refugees there in Eastleigh. So, Laura, welcome.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been working in Eastleigh, and about your role there?
Okay. My full name is Laura Mwikali Mwema, and I've been working in Eastleigh Community Center since March. That's about 6.5 months. And I've been working as a program officer and in charge of 3 projects in the IFTEEN program, and that's the literacy project, the economic development project, and the youth empowerment project. And as for the self-help groups, that falls under the economic project that we have at the center.
So self-help groups, for a lot of us in Canada and in the West, we might not be familiar with the concept. Can you just really briefly tell us what is a self-help group?
The self-help group approach that we're using right now in Kenya, we are targeting women who are of the same level, such that we have only the poor in the group, so we don't have any issues with, especially in terms of savings, who's going to bring in more and who's not able to afford that. And so with the concept that we're having right now is that we don't have specific leadership in the self-help groups. Rather, we have rotational leadership to make sure that everybody is responsible in the self-help groups.
So a self-help group, in essence, is a group of women who have the same economic background. Mm-hmm. So say within Eastleigh, you work with mobilizing a group of women who are having similar struggles. Mm-hmm. They're having common issues that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And then they come together, maybe 10, 15 women in a group, 20 at sometimes?
Yes, with this approach we have only women in the groups, and these women are about 15 to 20 only in membership. And also they have to come from the poor of the poorest, like I mentioned earlier. That means they have to come from the same economic level. And again, they have to have some kind of homogeneous ties, like for example their faith. If they're all Muslims, then it would be better to have, it would form a better and a stronger group like that, other than when they're mixed up. And in our case, in our refugee empowerment program, we have them from the same religious background and the same community, and that makes it a bit easier to deal with them in terms of savings, in terms of how they believe. Yeah.
And how often do these groups come together? So there's a group of women, they said, we're forming a group, we've given ourselves a name, we're Hidig, we're the star group. Uh-huh. How often would the women come together?
Okay, the women meet once a week for around 1 to 2 hours, and they meet with their community facilitators. In this sense, they're the ones who teach them the concept of the self-help group, what is entailed in a self-help group, why it is important to have the groups, and the different projects that they can do in a group or when they're together.
So when they come together, they form a new identity. Mm-hmm. And what are the benefits that they're receiving for being in a group? Like what are the reasons that they continue to meet each week?
Well, With the approach that we're using, we're out to develop these women in three ways, and that is socially, economically, and politically. In terms of social, I mean, they come together, they meet, they talk about their issues, their family problems, their community issues, and they're able to, I mean, have a level of trust somewhere where they can talk openly and help each other. And also, if it's economically, they save. Every time they have their meeting, that's every week, they save a minimum of 20 shillings each. And from those savings, they're able sometimes to even take loans from their money and start businesses, which kind of like improves their livelihoods and economically builds them. And when we talk of political, it's more about how they can, like, they can voice out their issues in the community and how they can stand up and talk about their place in the community without fearing. And I mean, in terms of maybe if it's about the local government, are they able now to stand up and voice their issues as a group of women and standing also in place for the other women in the community?
Yeah, I think that what you're really sharing is that, you know, these are very holistic groups. They're coming together and they're supporting one another. They're depending on one another. They're trying to improve their lives, and they're also trying to improve the life of their community in general. Mm-hmm. We've had several examples of that. I think of early on, we had community facilitators recognizing that there was a lot of women going through abuse. There mm-hmm. were a lot of women who were being mistreated. Mm-hmm. And so the groups were really instrumental in helping connecting these women to services, whether it be in the women's hospital mm-hmm. or a lawyer coming in and talking to them about what are your rights as a refugee, what are mm-hmm. your rights as a woman. Mm-hmm. What are some other ways through support socially or economically mm-hmm. that you've seen the groups coming together and making a difference?
Okay, most of it is through their savings. Once they do their savings, they're able to accumulate this amount to a reasonable amount of money that they're able now to get loans from the money and start small businesses. And from the self-help groups, we've also been able to identify issues like education. Maybe they have children who have not been able to go to school, and given that our program also sponsors children, we've been like there's been a channel to the children who need education through the women, and we've been able to connect the children to primary school level, and that has really helped. That has helped the children in terms of literacy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tell me, Laura, this is not an easy job, and this is not an easy community to work in. Eastleigh is one of the largest Muslim ghettos in Nairobi, and certainly within Kenya. And it's in many ways, you're crossing cultural boundaries by being here. You're not a Somali yourself, but you are Kenyan. Why do you keep coming back? What motivates you to be a part of leadership in Eastleigh?
Okay, it's very important that in Kenya, we do have them, whether we recognize that or not. They are part of this community, of the Kenyan community. And it's important that for all of us to develop, we have to develop every area of our country. And since they're the majority in Eastleigh right now, it's been our main reason to reach out to them and try to see how we can change their lives to better this community. And we've been able to realize that there's some issues, or rather some areas that if they're developing, then the rest of the country could develop as well, since they've been able to stretch out in every area, even other places in the country. It's been challenging, but at the same time, given that we have the differences in our cultures, in our religion, it's one of the reasons why we really want to reach out, first of all, is because, I mean, there's the whole issue of humanity, and it's important that every person gets some right to live and to learn and to share in happiness, just like the rest of us. And it makes a healthy community when we're able to reach out to those who are in need and help them in the areas.
As Christians, we often think of Jesus' teaching on what does it mean to be a good neighbor, you know, and he dealt with these different cultures coming together, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan. Here was a culture very different than his own Jewish culture, and yet, you know, it was in the caring for someone different than us that mm-hmm. Jesus really pointed to. This is what it means to be a neighbor, to mm-hmm. be a follower of mine. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the reasons that we as the church see it's important for us to be working in areas like Eastleigh,
mm-hmm.
to be seeing transformation and change happen,
mm-hmm.
because it's a part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we've really appreciated you sharing with us today.
Mm-hmm.
One last question. How can brothers and sisters in the faith in Canada be praying for you in this program?
Mm-hmm.
What are some areas of concern that we really need divine help in?
Okay, basically the Somali Oromo communities are very withdrawn, and they need to really do a lot of trusting and opening up to us. And like you said, the first time I came to this job, I had a question in my mind. I'm a Christian and they're Muslim, so there was a big question of why me? I mean, I don't really have a personal issue with Muslims, but I was wondering how I was seen to be of help to an Islamic culture, I mean community. But at the same time, this answer came to me through Erica, that it's about the love of Jesus, and that's what we're trying to show, that it doesn't matter where you come from or your community, it's all about sharing this love. And the greatest challenges that probably would need a lot of prayers is that we need this community to open up and trust that what we ought to do is for their own good, is to help them make a better life and to improve their livelihoods, and to intervene into whatever issues they're going through, just to have God open up their eyes and their hearts, and that they can accept us as a part of a team that wants to work with them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Laura. We really appreciate your time and the work that you continue to do in Eastleigh. And we know that God will bless this work. So thank you so much.
No, thank you.
You've been listening to the Five Kennies podcast. And if you'd like to learn more about the ministry that we're part of here in Africa, please check out our blog at fivekennies.blogspot.com. And you can also learn more about what Canadian Baptists are doing in Africa and throughout the world at cbmin.org.